Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood. With me from a distance today, Mr. John Paul Basham.
Yo.
So you are getting the long distance yo if you're listening to the podcast today. I appreciate John Paul calling in from out of town to make sure he's a part of this episode. As usual, if you haven't left a rating and review, head to iTunes, do that for us. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps other people find out about the Student Ministry Podcast and how they can be a part of the best podcast audience in the world.
Ooh.
So you can be a part of the conversation we have going on every week about student ministry. Again, we'd love to hear from you how we can get better and how that we can better serve you through the podcast. We are super excited about our podcast today because it's an issue that we're going to be covering that isn't talked about a whole lot in student ministry circles. It's the first time that we've talked about it on the podcast. And so I want to introduce you to somebody today who is an expert in this area, has a ministry specifically dealing with our topic today, and that's the topic of fatherlessness. And so we have with us on the podcast Sean Tice. Sean leads a ministry called Life Factors. You can find his website at lifefactors.org. Has a huge heart for reaching and discipling and leading students who are fatherless to Christ, and is a youth pastor as well in the local church. So we were talking a little bit right before we jumped on the podcast. He was like, "Hey, I've got my youth ministry stuff tonight." So we're going to do this interview, and you're going to really enjoy hearing from Sean and hearing his heart. And I think you're going to benefit from what he has to say and some things that he's noticed about how you, some things you need to be aware of as you specifically minister to fatherless teenagers in your ministry, because they are there and you need to know how to minister to them. So Sean, welcome to the podcast, man. We're glad to have you on.
Man, it's so great to be here.
Why don't you take a few minutes with our audience and just kind of introduce yourself. You obviously heard what I just said about you, but there's a lot more to say than that. Let them connect with you. So talk about yourself, your ministry, and how this became a specific area of ministry that you're pouring your life into.
Okay, thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. I've been passionate about fatherlessness for years. I grew up without a dad. When I was about 10 months old, my father came home in a drunken rage. He kicked my mom and my older brother and my older sister out of our house. But for some reason, he wanted to keep me, the 9-month-old or 10-month-old. And so he kept me in there. My mom ran into the neighbor's house in a panic. And she called the cops, or she called my aunt. My aunt called the cops, and the cops came to our house, and the cops demanded that my dad hand me over to them. And he, instead of handing me over, he took me and threw me across the room to the cops, and wow. Just as a little baby, you know. And it's one of those things I think about. It kind of sometimes gives me chills just thinking about that he could do that, because I have three kids myself, and just think about how a father could do that. But then he ended up, and nothing against my dad, I'm not bitter at him, I forgive him and everything, but just he packed up his things then about a month later or soon after that, and he left town. We grew up in Pennsylvania. It was my hometown. He moved back to Las Vegas, Nevada, which is his hometown, and he never returned again. And so I was on this journey, what I call the fatherless journey, where, you know, I grew up without a dad, and there's millions and millions of kids that are dealing with that same issue as well. In our country. And I was blessed, though. My mom took us. I was on a bus kid for a while. I went on the bus to church.
Yeah.
My mom's cousin invited us to church, and we went on the bus with his bus route, and got plugged into the church, was blessed to go to the Christian school there. And God started to give me mentors then when I was a teenager. I had a grandfather that helped me when I was a child, and he passed away when I was about 12. And so then I was kind of lost, and I needed a mentor. I needed somebody to reach into my life and help me and encourage me. And then I had a youth pastor that came, and that's probably many of the listeners that are listening to this, a youth pastor. But he came to our church when I was in seventh grade, and I was pretty messed up. Like, I was at the point where I was ready to go to public school. I wanted to get out of that Christian school. And this youth pastor just took me in, man. Him and his wife had adopted five small children from the ages of kindergarten and down, or maybe even a little before kindergarten when they got there. And they still took time to bring my sister and I over to their house. spent time with me, just all these things they did for us. And that youth pastor, I mean, he really started the process of transforming me from the effects of fatherlessness to being on a path of success. And it still took many years. I still had other mentors. I had a youth leader named Rob. I had a just other mentors that came into my life, invested through our local church. And then even to this day, I have a mentor, a guy that's like kind of like my dad. I call him my dad. His name is Jim in Pennsylvania. And, you know, he's even on our board for Life Factors, where he invested in me and mentored me along the way. And to be honest with you, I tell people, I said, mentoring saved my life. I wouldn't be on this podcast right now. I wouldn't be doing ministry. I wouldn't be a youth pastor. I wouldn't be married to – my wife's a pastor's kid. I wouldn't be married to my wife because her parents wouldn't let me near her. But, because of my mentors, they put me on this path that I could go down and I could have a chance at success. And, you know, I don't know if you want me to give some statistics now or you want me to wait till later on that, but – the statistics on fatherlessness are devastating. And I don't know, do you want me to share those now or do you want me to share those later?
Yeah, I just want to make one comment and then, yeah, give us the statistics. It's hard for me to say that word just now. That was amazing. But I do want to hear those because I think that they're going to surprise our audience more than likely on the degree to which fatherlessness impacts even their student ministry and their communities. But I just, because our audience is student pastors and student ministry leaders, I just wanted to point out that you mentioned your mentors and you named some specific people, both a student pastor and a volunteer youth leader that mm-hmm. had significant impact in your life. And so I just wanted to pause a minute and just recognize the reality that what you do makes a difference, and it makes an eternal yeah. difference in people's lives. And you're getting to hear from Sean, who's one of those kids that was just like another student in your ministry, but people decided to pour into him and chose to disciple him, and is a youth pastor now, and is running this ministry, trying to reach kids like he was. And so, just a moment to say, student pastors, youth leaders, man, what you do matters for the kingdom, matters a lot.
Amen.
So I agree. Give us that statistics.
Well, before I do, just real quick, I'll just tell about a little more why I started the ministry. I just was Perfect. Thinking I probably should continue on that. You know, I went to school to be a youth pastor. I went to Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida. And after I graduated, I was kind of like some students were just not sure exactly where's God leading me. But I had this tremendous burden on my heart to do something for the fatherless. And so it started out as a book. We started writing this devotional book for fatherless teen guys. And wrote that book, and it's like a 30-day journey on like the toughest things that fatherless guys face. And so we have that book. That book's on our website if you guys are interested in it. But that's what our whole ministry really started from, where we were like, okay, we have a book now. What are we going to do next? And we just started building on it. We started creating all these different resources, a devotional book for fatherless teen girls and a single mom devotional book. But right after we created that fatherless teen devotional book, or at least when we were creating it, we formed a nonprofit called Life Factors. God put it on our hearts to start that, and we started spreading the awareness about fatherlessness and what was going on and what's happening. So that was back in 2008. So this next year will be our 10-year anniversary. We've gone around the country, spoken about it. We've been doing this for a while and trying to help people understand why you need to focus on the fatherless, why they're different than the other kids in the youth group. And it's not trying to give them some special attention, but you know, trying to sometimes you have to, because these kids, they don't have that special attention at home like a lot of the students have. So let me give you some of the statistics. I'm having a hard time saying it too.
Good. That makes me feel a little better.
Okay. Well,
John Paul, you're next.
Yeah, I'm going to try in a minute.
These are issues that, you know, our churches and pastors and everybody, they're kind of shaking their heads about right now because they're just not sure what's happening. And my eyes have been open because I've been researching this for a long time. And every time I watch TV and something goes on, like, oh, this person did this, I know this sounds crazy, but I'll Google it and be like, I bet you they were fatherless. And I found out they came from a broken home. Their dad left. Huh. There's usually – I mean, sometimes I'm wrong, but most of the time it's usually because they were fatherless growing up. They didn't have that guide. And then they didn't have a Christian guide to come into their life to guide them. So we estimate there's about 30 million fatherless in our country alone. So every community has fatherless kids that could be reaching, fatherless teenagers, fatherless young adults, because even whenever they're in college, they're still struggling with the effects of that. I even still struggle with some of the effects of growing up without a dad. You know, things that I had happen to me, I struggle with those things even to this day, and I work through them through God. But it is a lifelong process to go get through some of these things that we're facing, things that you don't even realize until you get married. You're like, oh, man, that's an issue because I didn't have a dad growing up, you know, things like that. So, you know, and then there's crime. 85% of youths in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. So 85% of the kids that are in youth prison, and that's an older statistic. It's probably higher now. And then you may think, you know, maybe some people might think that it comes from a certain race. Well, listen to this one. A white teenage girl from an advantaged background is 5 times more likely to become a teen mother if she grows up in a single mother household than if she grows up in a household with both biological parents. Hmm. 5 times more likely
five
if she has
times
a single
more likely.
Yeah.
Man.
So just for a break real quick, you mentioned that you've been doing research into this, and there you mentioned some issues specifically, but talk a little bit about where our audience can go to research this issue for themselves too. So say something is stirring in them, they're like, man, I've got to find out more about this. Where send them to a couple of resources that that they can research as well.
Yeah. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, from different national surveys that they've done. You know, some of the ones that I could cite, you know, Dr. Joseph Nicolosi is a guy in California. There's a book on Sarah McClanahan, Growing Up with a Single Parent. It's a book, What Hurt, What Helps. Some of the stuff's listed on our website. You know, we've been growing this stuff for a long time. We also have a training site. It was modernfamilyministry.com, but we're transferring it over to be godismydad.org. It's our ministry partner site. And in there, we have tons of information, tons of training on how to reach out to the fatherless. So godismydad.org. And it's our partner site because we're trying to find churches to partner with us to help us reach into their communities. And we provide the training, we provide the tools that they need, and then they go out and reach the kids that are in their church already or in their community. So we have a ton of statistics and stuff with that as well. But a lot of them come from the government. These are governmental things. Yeah, so we have, you know, there's a lot of them out there. But, I mean, even the one I talked about just now, the growing up with a single parent, what helps, with Sarah McClanahan. She said in studies involving over 25,000 children using nationally represented data sets, children who lived with only one parent had lower grade point averages, lower college aspirations, poor attendance records, and higher dropout rates than students who live with both parents. You know, so we even do training for teachers in schools. We try to partner with Christian schools and try to show them that some of the kids they have in their classroom, if they're fatherless, if they're living with their grandparents and things like that, that might be why they're acting the way they are. It's not because they necessarily hate their teacher. It's because they're acting out because of the home situation that they have. And that's why they have low grades and things like that.
Okay. So that's, man, the case is obviously compelling there, and the statistics, take that word slow from here on out, obviously back up that this is a major issue in our country. And let's bring it from the big top of the funnel, kind of where we are now, down into student ministry in the local church. So you walked through fatherlessness yourself. You're now a youth pastor. You had youth pastor and volunteer leader pour into you. Talk for a little bit about how we as student pastors in the local church can miss it sometimes in regards to ministering to this specific segment of teenager. I guess another way to put this was, why does there need to be a specific focus on this? Why doesn't the student ministry at large address the needs appropriately? You know, assuming that they're a Bible-centered, Jesus-centered type of student ministry, why is there more intentionality needed with this specific group?
Well, I think, the Bible talks about, marriage is husband and a wife, and children are being raised by a mother and a father. And, you know, when you look at a kid that doesn't have a dad or even a mom, the reason why we focus on fatherlessness, obviously, is the biggest issue in our country. And it's just a tremendous issue. But when you don't have one of those parents in your life, it's kind of like and I talk about this in our training on godismydad.org, but there's a scale. If you look at a child as a scale, his life is off balance tremendously when he doesn't have that one parent in his life. And the mom, no matter what she does, she can try to write that scale, and she can try to bring it back, but they need that male influence. They need that godly influence to come into their life. And, you know, single moms can do a great job. I'm not knocking single moms. They can do a wonderful job. But these fatherless individuals, they still need a little bit of help. And they need some guidance to come alongside them. So, you know, when you compare it to your whole youth group, you know, looking at that, you know, I'm thinking about some of the students in my youth group that we have. They need, the ones that are fatherless need that special attention that, you know, some of these students might not need. And so when you look at the whole youth group as a whole, you know, you bring them in on Wednesday night, you bring them in Sunday, you know, and we're ministering to them, we're doing discipleship, we're helping them. But are we talking about the things that they're struggling with in their life? You know, guys that don't have a dad, they're feeling inferior. They feel so inferior to all the other guys out there that have a dad in their youth group. They feel like they don't, you know, they don't know a lot about how to work on cars or how to, you know, to do manly things, how to start a fire, how to go fishing, how to go hunting, how to do things that, you know, that men do, how to work, how to have work ethic. Well, they need a man to come in their life and show them how to do that stuff. And maybe you're thinking, I'm a youth pastor, I can't do that. Well, you take what you can do and try to, and what you're good at, and try to teach them something, you know, along those lines. You know, if it's a girl, you know, you and your wife come alongside that girl, and you let them see you as a married couple, and let the child, the boy and girl, see you as a married couple, and what is an appropriate married couple, a Christian married couple, should look like. You'd let that girl work with your wife, and you be around there as a youth pastor, or even if you're a youth worker, a girl youth worker, be around that girl. Youth pastors, you know, obviously we caution that. Don't be alone with a teenage girl or a young girl, but you have your wife, and you be together and work with that girl so she can get that male influence in a safe environment. You know, that's the thing. So there's so many youth groups, and we used to travel for our ministry. We haven't lately, but we used to travel around speaking, you know, all different places for this and go to conferences and stuff. And we'd have a lot of pastors that would just kind of look at us like, what are you talking about? Why is this an issue? They didn't understand, you know, that it was something that you really needed to focus on. And it's one of those things that we've ignored because we aren't fulfilling James 1:27. You know, it says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. It says, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You know, and we're supposed to be going out and visiting those kids. Those kids need a little extra help. They need to know that you care about them. They need to have a little extra attention than some of the other kids in the youth group. That's just the way it is. And, you know, some people might argue with me, like, well, you can't give special attention, but you have to in order to effectively minister to these fatherless kids.
Well, and something that stands out to me in this, my own experience as a student pastor, and probably everybody else's experience as a student pastor, is that a lot of these students in fatherless homes tend to overcompensate. And so, you know, when I think about a lot of the students that I've interacted with that are in this kind of living situation, they seem a lot harder. They seem a lot more standoffish. They're much more hesitant to kind of let you into their life. Yeah. But something that I don't think I have considered until you just said it was how inferior they feel, which would be the driver for the reason that they overcompensate in all those ways. So I don't feel like I have somebody that, you know, brings that confidence to my life as far as, you know, talking about boys specifically, being confident in my manhood and my ability to kind of step up as a young man. And so I'm going to follow whatever models that I see on TV or in the street, which just puts off this persona of being, you know, this hardened guy, which probably isn't the case at the core. It's just the only way they know to compensate. Would you say that's right?
That's exactly it. And then once you spend time with them, they'll soften. I mean, they'll soften. I mean, there's always going to be some exceptions to every rule, but most of the time, the hardest kid, you spend some time with him, he's going to soften, and he's going to be the, you know, you just let him know you love him and you want to help him, and it's no, you have no agenda with it. You know, just to, you just want, just the fact that you want to love on him. Oh yeah, they'll change, and it'll soften them. I tell some, my one youth worker or one of our youth leaders in our youth group, I tell him I used to be such an angry person. Like, I hated people. I was so angry about my dad leaving. I always wanted to go, and I wanted to beat him up so bad because he used to beat my mom up when I was a baby and before that. Abusive dad. I was so angry at people. I got in fights and stuff like that. And honestly, I'll tell you what, God softened me over the years, but I believe it was a lot of to do with my mentors teaching me, like, you can't go and, you know, you can't do this different stuff. You, you know, well, they might not directly said that to me, but with the fact that they spent time with me and let me see their compassion, let me see their family.
So you've been talking about the importance of the mentors that you've had in your life. Maybe things from your own life that you noticed that you kind of identified through the years, through that mentoring process. And then as you've been doing the Life Factors ministry for 10 plus years, what are the issues that you're seeing rise to the top that these teenagers deal with more perhaps than teenagers who have both mom and dad in the home?
Yeah, you know, the top things that, you know, these fatherless teen guys and girls are facing, and, you know, as I said earlier, was the fatherless teen guys, you know, they feel inferior. They feel like other people are better than they are. They feel like other guys that have a dad know a lot more about being a man, about being, you know, being manly. And so just teaching those guys, you know, that they can, they're manly too. And they can do things too. I had a guy show me all kinds of things as one of my mentors. So, you know, I started working for him, which was one of the things. I started working for him around his house and stuff. And I was driving a skid steer, and he was having me, he took me out, showed me how to use a shotgun. We started shooting skeet all the time.
Fun stuff too.
Oh yeah, man. And just do
like this mentor.
Exactly. But and the thing is, and maybe some of the listeners are like, well, I can't do any of that stuff. Well, whatever you're good at, whether you're good at playing soccer or whether you're good at, you know, whether you're a guy that's good at cooking, whatever you're good at, just take that and show that kid how to do it. And that would be invaluable to that kid's life. It will encourage them. And then girls, those girls feel so insecure because the dad's job is to provide security to those girls. And so when the dad's not there to do that, they feel so insecure that they, you know, that they're worthless as a girl. And that's why they often they'll give themselves to a teenage boy or a college age boy thinking, oh, you know, he'll provide my security. And that's why they end up having premarital sex. And that's why they end up, you know, a lot of abortions come from is because these girls are trying to find that worth through these relationships with these guys. And so showing those girls, you know, you and your wife as a male pastor and with your wife doing it alongside you, let them come into your life and you know, and spend time with you and your wife and in your relationship. And if you're a lady, you're a volunteer youth director, whatever you are, make sure that you let, you know, get somehow connect them with some male influences somehow, but make sure it's safe for them where there's still women around, but they can be around guys. They can, you know, the guys can encourage them whenever, you know, even with the leaders, you know, encourage your leaders to tell them that they're, you know, that God cares about them and that they're fearfully and wonderfully made and that they are worth something. And, you know, I have this one teenage girl she's just graduated out of our youth group. And I keep telling her, you know, I just believe God has great plans for your life and he wants you to do something great. And, you know, and I feel like Satan's trying to pull her away from God's perfect plan for her life. And I've told her several times, you know, God has amazing future for you if you just keep pursuing him and following him. And, you know, and she's fatherless. She keeps having that. You see this doubt that comes into her life. Like, I'm not worth anything. I'm, you know, I can't do this. And then sometimes she'll look confident, but she'll be up and down. It just depends on their personality. Some of them be quiet. They won't even tell you what's going on, but they need to know worth too. So, and some of the things that are in our devotional book, you know, where the first day obviously is your heavenly father, realizing that God will be their dad. God will fill that role as their dad, and it's way better than any earthly dad could ever be. God will fill that role. And then really facing the reality that they're fatherless, talking about some of the statistics and helping them, show them that they need a prayer life and, you know, that they're not alone and they can overcome this. They can overcome the fear and they can deal with the discouragement and they can go through this process. This is some of the stuff we cover in the devotional book. And then forgiving that dad or forgiving God, you know, because a lot of kids that their dad died, they may be bitter towards God for taking their dad away or bitter towards their mom or somebody. So helping them forgive whoever it is they need to forgive and just working through trusting God and getting through that anger that they might have. And then we talk about self-esteem and fearfully, wonderfully made and, you know, just giving it all to God. And then we talk about submission to authority, you know, respecting your elders, things that dads are supposed to teach their kids. You know, you better respect, you know, the authority in your life and realizing that, you know, that you need to be a leader. And we talk about in the guys' devotional book about being a man of God, the man of the house. There's just so many things. I mean, there's so many things we could talk about, but these are a few of the things in the devotional book. There are several of them. So just want to encourage you. There's several topics that you can mentor a kid about that you may not even realize. They're in our devotional book. They're in our training and, you know, these resources we've developed, we've worked through them over the years, and they're ready for people to pick up and take into their youth ministry, use them as discipleship tools to encourage these fatherless. And maybe you're thinking, well, you're just trying to promote your ministry. No, I'm trying to promote what God said in the Bible, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. These kids are so afflicted. They need our help. They need us to guide them. And God uses us as ministry people to help them realize that He can be their dad. He can encourage them and He can guide them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sean, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Understanding that this isn't an issue that a lot of churches are hitting head on and really putting a lot of emphasis behind. There's got to be some level of, for a student pastor that's listening to the podcast and says, I want to, you know, I'm feeling compelled by this conversation to start meeting this need and really reaching out to these kids because my ministry's loaded down with them. How do you walk the line between a certain level of programming that you're going to need to be able to pitch this kind of a ministry to some of your volunteers as they, you know, as they feel compelled to reach out to these kids, while also having that organic kind of feeling for those students? Because I know you don't want to have like the fatherless kid outreach ministry is having a meeting today, you know, and all those kids are like, okay, why don't you go ahead and target me as somebody that needs special help? So how do you walk that line between programming that and training your volunteers while also making sure to love those students well and making that feel natural and organic?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't like go print a banner up, you know, fatherless ministry meets on Tuesday or something. You know, it'd be kind of awkward, but just going to these kids individually, you know, or even pulling some of them in a room and saying, hey, you know, like for example, on Father's Day, we do a dinner, or the week before Father's Day, we try to do it. When we go out, we'll buy these gifts for the fatherless kids. We let them know, because Father's Day is a really hard day for fatherless guys and girls, and even for the single moms. It's a day that they're reminded that I don't have a dad, and it's not a very fun day. And so we try to, at our church, we go out, we spend money on them. Like this past year, we gave them all gift bags with God is My Dad t-shirts in them and seed Christian music CDs and devotional books and candy and just try to help them be encouraged that they, you know, they can get through this. And we didn't make it weird. You know, we just said, I know this is a tough day for you. And we didn't do it in front of the youth group. We took it to their houses and dropped it off at their house. And then in there was an invitation to a dinner at a nice Italian restaurant, because Italian restaurants are great because you can still order pizza and that's not that expensive. So yeah, so we took them out to this nice dinner and invited the moms out, that, you know, maybe some of the single moms that don't normally come to your church. It's a way you can connect with them. If you have like a bus ministry or something, you know, you can pull them that way. And so that's one of the events that we do. You know, Valentine's Day is a chance for you to minister to the single moms. Maybe your church can go around and give out flowers to the single moms, take them to their workplaces and drop them off. Man, that makes the single moms feel so special that they are, you know, they're special and God loves them. And there's just all kinds of creative things you can do.
I love that you mentioned ministering to the single. You mentioned single mom, but I'm sure single the grandparents, if the student's living with the grandparents or whoever they're living with, of the opportunity to minister to them as well in this situation. That the ministry, yes, here's what the teenager deals with, and here's some of the stuff that we need to remember and some of the issues that they're going to deal with, but remembering the parent in that too, or in some cases the grandparents that they live with, and the ministry steps that can be taken to reach out towards them.
Yeah. And just go back to what you said earlier. There may be times where you get, and I would encourage you to be nonchalant about it. Like, for example, we have this new girl that just started coming to our youth group a few months ago. We're just still just trying to figure out her story. And I think her dad might live in a different state. And so then it kind of puts up our radar. Okay. So we need to do our specific ministry for this girl. You know, we need to kind of figure out, okay, what's her. So the first step would be talking to her about it a little bit. And then maybe we would give her one of our Fatherless Journey devotional books. And then, you know, kind of just get to know her a little more and try to let her know that we care about her specific issue, not making her feel weird, not doing it in front of the whole group, but going to her, because that makes them feel special. That makes them realize. And I've had even some of our students, I didn't even know they were fatherless. They come up, can I get one of those books? I don't have a dad either. You know, they want to be part of it because they know they're struggling with it too. And so they want us to minister to them too. And we're like, oh, I didn't even know you're, they ride on the bus. We didn't know the situation. And they want to be part of it too, because their friends showed them, like, hey, look what they gave me. You know, look what they, you know, they're trying to help me with. So, and then they get invited into this group where we bring them on Father's Day, or we spend, you know, try to encourage them with different things, you know, through that. So yeah, throughout the year, we just try to do different things for them. It doesn't mean you're constantly, you know, picking them out, but then they know in the back of their heads that this person cares about my situation.
Yeah.
And then it's an open conversation, you know, oh, you're going to visit your dad. You know, maybe their dad lives in a different city or something. And then it brings that, well, how do you, you know, you can talk about, how do you feel about that? And just open up that conversation where they have a safe place, because they might not be able to talk to their mom about it or have anybody else they can talk to. And every situation is different. I mean, some kids might hate you for bringing it up, but you got to bring it up. I've rarely ever seen anybody get upset about us bringing up their situation of being fatherless. And you do, because you just have to do it tenderly and gently, just be like, hey, you know, I understand. And just try to relate to them in some way. Or even if you can't relate, be like, you know, I don't know what that's like, Matt. Maybe I grew up, my wife grew up in a pastor's home. I grew up in a pastor's home, but, you know, I'm sure that's hard. And just try to help them understand that you're just there to be their guide.
Yeah.
You know, you're just there to encourage them and help them, and let them know that they are awesome. You know, Donald Miller has that ministry or that business, Story Brand Workshop in Nashville. And I've kind of been following him a little bit. And he had Dave Ramsey on there and all these different people on his podcast. And he talks about how you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to let your customer feel like they're the hero and you're just their guide. And that's the same thing with this, letting this fatherless kid know that they are, they can be a hero. They can overcome this thing through God, and you kind of just guide them. You let God use you to guide them along this path, and whatever. I mean, and again, there's so many different situations with it.
Yeah. What I think is so cool about the process that you're describing in the mentorship, even early in our conversation, and just some of the tips and things that you've given to student pastors as they train leaders in their ministry to walk with students and spend time with them and notice them. What I think is so cool about this is you're describing discipleship, you know, yep. Like it's just taking the time to notice and then say, okay, if I'm really going to disciple someone, it's not going to be a conveyor belt type of approach where everyone gets the same thing, but exactly. That everyone needs a tailor-made discipleship process, whether they're fatherless or not. Everyone has different issues and different things that they deal with. And for the purpose of this conversation, we're saying make a special attempt to take the initiative in this group of teenagers because of the specific things that they deal with. And you talk, you know, the self-esteem and the insecurity and feeling less than. You've talked about, talked through those things. But just noticing and then discipling these teenagers and being able to speak God's word in their heart in the moments that they need it. So, man, I love the way you're describing the approach to take here. And it's something that's not going to be unfamiliar to a student pastor. So if I'm a student pastor and I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm really dropping the ball in ministering to the fatherless in my student ministry, well, discipling teenagers is what they know. So take an intentional approach to discipling these specific teenagers and talking with adults on how to do that. Sean, before we hang up here, I want to give John Paul an opportunity to ask any other questions that he has.
I'm good.
Cool. Before we hang up, we're not in the same room, so we couldn't like give each other the nod. Before we hang up though, tell people how they can get in touch with you and your ministry for more information on how to evangelize and disciple students that are dealing with fatherlessness.
Okay. I mean, we have some new awesome resources I want to tell you guys about. You know, I've mentioned godismydad.org, which is our partner ministry site. Basically what it is, it's a bunch of training that if you want to get involved in this, you want to dig deeper in this, you sign up for that. You go there and sign up for that, you know, and you can, and it's a no risk thing. You sign up, it's a monthly thing, and you can go and you can find out. First month is fatherless children. Second month is mentoring. Third month is fatherless teen guys. Fourth month is fatherless teen girls. Then the fifth month is single moms. And then we go into grandparents raising grandkids, 6 months of content, and you can take and pick and choose whatever you want to do with it. I kind of see it as, you know, how people do continuing education for, you know, being a insurance agent or whatever field you're in. This is kind of like continuing education for a pastor. And so they can go and they can get that extra knowledge that they need. They might not have learned in college, and it helps them and encourages them to keep ministering to these students. So I want to encourage you, if you're a youth pastor, please sign up for that. It'll help you and guide you. And I'm here to be a support to you if you need anything. The last thing is, we have a new resource for teenagers and young adults. We just launched it a few months ago, and I worked with two of our teenagers on a scholarship basis for them. But we created this thing called God Is My Dad, and basically showing teenagers and young adults that they can have a dad through God, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. They can have a dad through God. And what it is they go to godismydad.com. So .com is for the teenagers and young adults and for helping them. And then .org is for the training site for the pastors and teachers and people like that. But the .com site has information from pastors encouraging them, has people sharing their stories, has kids telling about what they went through and how God became their dad, has how-tos, has all kinds of different stuff. And it's a growing website. We're going to have devotional books on it and all kinds of stuff that they can use to overcome. And also, it's an app, too. They can go into the Apple Store or the Google Play Store, and they can download the God Is My Dad app. Just search for God Is My Dad in those stores, and they can download it. And these are just resources that we're just trying to reach the fatherless with. And we need pastors and youth pastors to come alongside us to get the word out through the local church into their church and community. So you can reach me at lifefactors.org, Sean Tice at lifefactors.org, and you can reach me through the website, or you can reach me through these other sites. Just find us, connect with me on Facebook. I'd love to help you guys in this ministry. So I'm just passionate about this. I hope you could tell my passion for this.
There's no doubt about that. And I love it. I think it's awesome to hear how God has used student ministry in your past, and how you are now involved in ministry to teenagers and doing that same thing for others. So your passion's awesome. I love it. I love the ministry that you're doing, and we're happy to tell the Lifeway Student Ministry podcast listeners about it. So lifefactors.org, head over there if you want to connect with Sean and find out more about his ministry. This has been the Lifeway Student Ministry podcast. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.